Thank you. So this afternoon, I'm going to be talking, or rather narrating a story about the trans fat regulations in New York City. And hopefully I can get some comments and feedback from all of you as well. So I'd like to thank, firstly, Professor Marin Nessel and Dr. Elka Maria Abraham for giving me a lot of feedback for this paper. And you must be wondering, why is somebody from Singapore so interested with what's happening in New York City, Big Apple, you know? And the objectives for going on and researching about this topic really came about when I wanted to find out what is it that made the New York trans fat regulations a success? What were some of the critical process and factors that made it such a success, and what were some of the challenges that they faced by the Department of Health? And the next thing was basically to develop a framework that I could use back in Singapore, where I come from, if we are deciding to embark on a similar regulation. And the last thing, I would like to leave some time for discussion. So the whole story about trans fat regulations came about because of the need to control heart disease burden, right? So heart disease is the number one cause of death in New York City and arguably in the U.S., resulting in over 25,000 deaths in New York, and that accounted for about 4 in 10 total deaths in 2004. And you're talking about huge economic costs. In the state of New York alone, $3.6 billion in 2002 went into hospitalization fees for heart disease events. And the total cost, including a loss of productivity and so on, amounted to about $11.3 billion. So this is a huge problem. And it's, of course, heart disease is not limited to just the U.S. We are looking at 7 million deaths worldwide in 2002 from heart disease. And it affects both developing as well as industrializing countries, including Russia, India, and China. So this is a big problem that we need to deal with. And where does trans fat come into the picture? So we know that risk factors of heart disease can range from genetics to lifestyle factors like smoking, obesity, and of course diet. And trans fat fits into that category where we can make some changes and hopefully reduce the prevalence of heart disease. And as I started reading about what New York City was doing in terms of the trans fat regulations, I couldn't get away from examining the context within which the trans fat regulations were being developed. So evidence has been building about the harmful effects of trans fats to the cardiovascular risk. Consumers are getting more and more aware about the harmful effects of trans fat. Dietary practices are changing. People are eating out more often. And of course, the political leadership in New York City at that time, that was a crucial factor to look at as well. And of course, how is the food industry responding to the growing threat of the health sector focusing so much attention on trans fat? So let's go through each one briefly. Firstly, the evidence base is building. And since the 1990s, the early 1990s, Walter Willett and his colleagues from Harvard has been finding out more and more evidence that trans fat can lead to earlier cardiovascular disease and mortality. And I guess the single most important paper that came out recently was in 2006 by Mozafarian and his colleagues in Harvard, that if you can eliminate trans fat from the American diet, let's look at this graph over on the right side. If you can eliminate trans fat totally from the diet, you're looking at a 23% reduction in the proportion of coronary heart disease events which are preventable in the U.S. That's really significant. And if you're looking at trans fat intake in the U.S., you're talking about 5 grams of trans fat. So if you can reduce trans fat intake by 5 grams, you're looking at almost a quarter in terms of a reduction of coronary heart disease, which is preventable. So in other countries before New York City, trans fat regulations have already been kicked in. In 2003, we're looking at Denmark, which has restricted the total amount of trans fat in ingredients to less than 2% of total fat. And this is across the board, manufactured as well as prepared foods. And the impact there is really tremendous. Canada doesn't really have a trans fat ban, but they're really monitoring the trans fat content in foods which are widely available and published on the Health Canada website. And that's a great resource and also a great deal of pressure on the industry to limit the amount of trans fat in their foods voluntarily. And of course, nutrition labeling in trans fat, which is available here in the US since 2006. Consumers are getting more savvy and more aware about the health effects of trans fat as well. And in a consumer survey by AC Nielsen in 2004, almost 7 in 10 of the participants are aware of the health risks of trans fat. And 4 in 10 regularly check the food labeling in terms of the ingredients on whether there is the presence of trans fat in their foods. So people are getting more aware. But exactly how much trans fat intake are we looking at? This is some information from the USDA. The Americans consume on average 2.6% of their total daily caloric intake as trans fats. And we're looking at about 5.8 grams per day, which is not a lot considering that they may be taking in about 80 grams of fat per day. And the majority of this trans fat intake is from processed foods. And 20% of the trans fat intake comes from naturally available trans fat like dairy, meats, cheeses, and so on. More than a third of the caloric intake is consumed out of homes. So I guess this is where the motivation came in for the New York City Department of Health to limit the amount of trans fat that's available in restaurants. Because if you can cut down a third of trans fat intake daily, that's a huge impact. And we cannot ignore the fact that there was strong political leadership at that time in the New York City's administration, which were very supportive of controversial public health policies, including stricter gun controls, calorie labeling and menu labeling in restaurants, and the citywide smoking bans in public spaces. That's indicative of the strong leadership and support that they had during the time that the trans fat regulations were being implemented. And as a matter of fact, Health Commissioner Thomas Frieden will be actually receiving a prize, an award, tomorrow evening and from the APHA. From the industry, we're also noticing since the early part of 2000 onwards that there are a lot more new alternatives to trans fat, oils that contain trans fat. And these alternatives do not raise the cost or change the taste to the foods that these oils are used to prepare. And it's clearly evidence that there's very little barrier in terms of alternatives for food service establishments to switch from trans fat containing oils to these new alternatives. So let's talk a little bit more about the details of this policy. It only affects food service establishments which are required to hold a city department permit. And partial implementation of the trans fat regulation was in 1st of July in 2007, where baked goods, including breads and cakes and so on, were exempted. And the full implementation was this year, 1st of July. So in the regulations, according to the regulations, no food containing oils and fat with 0.5 grams or more trans fat per serving may be stored, used, or served by these establishments. And establishments that violate these regulations can be fined up to $2,000. But up to now, there hasn't been any news that any restaurant has been fined this amount. The regulation doesn't apply to food that is served in the manufacturer's original sealed packaging because this comes under the jurisdiction of the Food and Drug Administration, not within the city. So the processes that were involved in the regulations included, prior to policy formulation, actually there was a trial period when restaurants were asked to voluntarily switch from oils that contain trans fat to oils that had very little or no trans fat. Thank you. And this obviously wasn't very successful, and that was when the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene proposed this trans fat policy in the later part of 2006. And subsequently, they sought public consultations, and an overwhelming 90% of the people who were from the public were very supportive of such a regulation in the city. The implementation phase was multi-pronged. There was a lot of public health education about the harmful effects of trans fat and why they should switch from oils that contain trans fat to healthier alternatives. There was a lot of support for food establishments and their owners on changing their recipes and making it healthier. And of course, the training of the Department of Health's inspectors to make sure that they were aware of what to look for when they're inspecting various restaurants. And the last bit was some process evaluation, looking at how successful the regulations has been adopted following the implementation. So these are some of the examples for posters as well as screenshots from the website from the Department of Health with messages about healthier choices, choosing foods with zero grams of trans fat versus the original version, and a lot of instructions and easy to follow messages for restaurant owners and food service establishments. And in collaboration with the City University of New York, the Department of Health also provided a hotline as well as a trans fat help center for food establishments in order for them to make the switch within the deadline. I don't have any outcome evaluations from the Department of Health yet. None has been published so far. And according to their press releases, the uptake for the switch from trans fat containing oils to healthier options has been very successful. Within the space of 3 months, if you're looking at between June 07 and September 07, the partial implementation was in July 07, right? So within 3 months, they were able to get a 94% compliance rate, which is phenomenal. And I'm not going to go through this busy slide. This basically traces the timeline of significant events in terms of the various events within which the context within which the trans fat regulations were formulated. So this can be available online. So what were some of the strengths and weaknesses of New York City's experience? So clearly they had very clear objectives, which is to reduce the prevalence of heart disease in the city. They also had very realistic requirements for food businesses and were willing to delay the full implementation to 2008, especially for bakeries and businesses that serve a lot of baked goods that cannot make that switch in their recipe so quickly. Their approach was very evidence-based, and they provided lots of resources for restaurants and businesses to make the switch. It's also a very useful model for other cities that are exploring this new tool, using policy to change the food environment in the cities. Some of the weaknesses that I would like to highlight are, so far there's no outcome evaluation yet, which is understandable, since cardiovascular risk takes many years to build up. Secondly, the policy doesn't include manufactured goods compared to Denmark, so the impact may be limited. And according to popular press, most of the substitution so far has been to oils that contain more saturated fats. So you're looking at, okay, there's a reduction of trans fat, but now the oils that are being used have more saturated fats, which is equally, if not, which is just as bad for cardiovascular risk. So it may create a false sense of security amongst consumers that they are eating healthier products, and this might result in them eating more than usual. And does this apply to other settings? I think the answer is quite obvious. It depends. Is there really a burden of cardiovascular disease in your country or your city? and how much impact will reducing trans fat do to reducing the prevalence of heart disease. So with that, I'd like to leave you with a very simplified model based on the New York City's experience in the trans fat regulations, strong evidence-based approach, background research on what is the burden, what is the scientific consensus in terms of reducing trans fat in your city or your country, and what are some potential industry responses to your proposed policy. And gaining support, stakeholder support is very important from the public, from the media, from the industry, and also from policymakers. And the next step, implementation, making sure that the public is educated, restaurant owners are well supported to make the switch, and providing substitutes which are not costly and will not affect the businesses too much. And finally, evaluation, obtaining feedback from all those people who are affected by the policy, and sharing and disseminating this information to other health ministries across the world. And okay, so with that, I thank you for your attention, and do we have time for questions?
Yeah, we have a few questions.
Sure. Thank you.